This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to In My Opinion. I'm your host, Ray Dosky, here at Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR. Thank you so much for joining me today. So much to unpack, so much news to cover, NBA, NFL, fantasy football. Don't worry, your boy Ray Dosky got you covered. So let's do a little news roundup around the league. Well, not only the NFL, but let's talk about NBA first and foremost. Ben Simmons, once again in the news. I'm so tired of talking about Ben Simmons, but we have to address the elephant in the room here, where he was suspended on Wednesday night in the first game for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he came out today and said that he is not mentally ready to play right now. Well, due to everything that happened in the offseason, I'm not surprised that you're not ready to play. You kind of went back and forth with the team. You went back and forth with the coach. You don't seem like you've really been really involved. And you know what's crazy? I don't know if you guys caught this, but the ex-legend Laker, Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace, said several years ago he was able to see this. He spoke about this, I think it was at a Mamba clinic, where he said that Ben Simmons might win a few rings, great player, but can't shoot the ball. Well, we all know he can't shoot the ball. Ben Simmons has a decision to make. Is he in love with the NBA status or being a great NBA player? Because we've not seen him put in the work to become an NBA great. Now, granted, we all know that the peace of mind is a very, 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 very meaningful thing. And mental health is very important. I'm not going to dissuade that, or I'm not going to throw shade at that. It is. If that's the case, so be it. If that space where you're in the Philadelphia 76ers is not a great place for Ben Simmons to play, then they need to ship him. So I asked myself this. Are the Philadelphia 76ers handling this correctly? No. But at this point, their hands are tied. They don't want to trade away Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons has come out vocally through the entire offseason saying, I want to be traded. But the 76ers know, Doc Rivers and company know that they can't get much for him in return. Granted, he's 24, 25 years old, what have you, still a young star, but hasn't really put in the work to really become an NBA star. He came in with a lot of fame, came in, was off the gate great, and then, I don't know, the pressure of the NBA, the staffs, what have you, the demands just got to him. So now he has a decision to make. Does he want to be an NBA great, or does he just love the NBA status? So instead of you trying to go and take these little pictures on Instagram like 15, 20 times a day, Ben Simmons, maybe we should go and try to get into the gym. Work on your jump shot. Because the Philadelphia 76ers have not dropped the beat. They've actually looked better, especially as Maxey playing in the position that you normally play. He's provided that offensive offset that the Philadelphia 76ers need. Now you ask yourself, well, are the Philadelphia 76ers better without them, without Ben Simmons? Well, showing it is so far, they started the season 1-0, up against the Brooklyn Nets now. Maxey's been able to provide the offensive spark that they need, jumping threes, what have you. So Ben Simmons has a big decision to make. Are you willing to put over? Because if you saw him during the warm-ups early in the week, he had this big FU, if you will, to the 76ers. He's walking around with his sweats. Everyone's putting work in. He didn't seem like he was really engaged. Just kind of had that little walk off. I really don't want to be here. There was that note of he was dismissed. And the reason why he was dismissed is because of the fact that he apparently a cell phone in his pocket. He was just distracted by that. Where Ben Simmons came out later and said that, no, it was just my warm-up jersey. I just folded it in several pieces and I put it in my pocket. Now, if you look at the camera footage on ESPN, we've all seen it. It looks like it could be a jersey. Could be a phone. We don't know. Regardless of the fact, if you look at the guy's, just his emotion and his mood, he looks like he doesn't want to be there. 76ers, he doesn't want to be there. Just trade him. I know you're probably going to get 20 cents on the dollar on the guy, but he doesn't want to be there. Go ahead and just dissolve this. Just end it. I don't see him playing for the 76ers this year. I really don't. I think he's going to be traded before anything else. As much as the 76ers do not want to trade him away, that's pretty much going to be the ultimate, I think, ending for this, because it's just, it just works out better. Both Ben Simmons and the Phillies, not the 76ers. The 76ers have a great squad. They have a great, great squad. Now, I know it sucks that you're going to give up on a 24-year-old, you know, budding star, if you will. But if he's not able to provide, put the work in, he doesn't want to be in that atmosphere or that space in Philadelphia, then just ship him away. Just trade him away. You're better off. Just lick your wounds and just move on. Well, they play the Brooklyn Nets on Friday night. And on the other side, the Brooklyn Nets have their own issues to deal with. I mean, they've got Kyrie dealing with as well. You know, he's still not showing up. And it looks like Patty Mills, who is kind of spotting, put in some time to help play that guard position. Is he an upgrade from Kyrie Irving? No, he's not. But he's serviceable. He's serviceable. Because if you've been watching, if you watch the game, you can see that most of the times who was bringing up the court was either James Harden or Kevin Durant. Drummond had a solid game. He looked like he looked good. Aldridge looked pretty good too. But Patty Mills was solid. Played hard on the court, but most of the time it was basically either Durant or James Harden. Now, unfortunately, Brooklyn has, you know, they made the decision. Hopefully that works out with whatever it may be with Kyrie, if he's either a trader or not. But it seems like right now there's no, and we have no idea where that standoff is between Kyrie and the Nets. Either the Nets, it is what it is. Nets are continuing on. They're starting their season. They're playing the players that they have. They're willing to be there and ready. And Kyrie's still, you know, making his stance, and we're all going to respect his piece. So at this point, it's to be continued to see where this saga ends between the two teams. So that is that in terms of the NBA. In terms of the ACLS, we got baseball playoffs right now. I couldn't really tell what's going on with Boston. I mean, like, they're going against this Houston team, and Boston just looks like it's really flat right now. Like, the first couple of games they played, they looked offensively. They were getting base. They had get runners on there. They were playing great defense. They were scoring home runs. In the last several games, the last two, three games, they have not looked the same Boston Red Sox team they were the first couple of games against the Houston Astros. So we'll have to see what happens between those two. Looks like right now Boston might be the outsider. It looks like Houston. It looks like they've got all the momentum to go to the World Series, to go against and face either an Atlanta team who just dropped an 11-2 loss to the LA Dodgers the other night. And Braves fans, I know you guys are panicking. But we'll see what happens. We all know that the LA Dodgers have had your number. It seems like it's just like that hump that you guys can't. Because let's not forget here. The LA Dodgers are one of the best young teams. They scored over 100. They won over 100 games. The season that the Atlanta Braves had, winning 88 games in the season, is a testament. With all the injuries and the distractions you had early in the season, for you guys to regroup and really come together, big, 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 big win for you guys. Braves fans should be happy about that. To get this far in the postseason, yeah. If they are able to advance and beat the LA Dodgers, I think they play a good matchup. If they're going to play either Houston or Boston, I think they can beat either one. I would like a Houston versus Baltimore. Atlanta Braves World Series. I think that'd be an interesting game. I think it'd be a great, great series. But you just got one, and you just got the LA Dodgers. The LA Dodgers are not giving up. They're putting in that fight. When you feel like they're out a little bit, then they come back. It feels like they can turn it on whenever they want to turn it on. And that's what the Braves are seeing right now with the LA Dodgers. Now they go back home, Truist Park. They got up 3-2 over the Dodgers. See what happens if we can wrap it up over the weekend. Well, she'll see. This series is far from over. Let's talk NFL. So much news in the NFL. The Tua trades come and gone and come back and come again. Well, who knows? There was reports early in the week where Tua and the Miami Dolphins, Let me take that back. I'll start about Tua. But Tua was involved in the trades or discussions. Deshaun Watson, Tua, Houston Texans, Miami Dolphins, and a plethora of other teams involved in possibly a three-way trade. Who knows what? Let's go ahead and let's assess the Deshaun Watson trade. Deshaun Watson, from what I've been hearing about reports, is the fact that he's been actually at the Texans facility. He's been kind of just been training on his own, if you will. He's kind of been on the side. He's been there, but he's not really been there. He's been deactivated for every game so far at the beginning of the season. The Houston Texans have not shown any willingness of going to play. He's healthy to play. There's no charge. He can play if he wants. The Houston Texans are just not going to play him. Then it came in talks early in the week that the Miami Dolphins had, there was discussions. Well, let's not kid ourselves here. There's been discussions going on since August about him possibly being traded to the Miami Dolphins, which is funny because I thought they were not going to go to, I thought the Texans were not going to trade him to an AFC team. It looked like he was going to go to an NFC team. Preferably the Philadelphia Eagles was rumored to be involved. The Carolina Panthers were rumored to be involved. So I have to ask myself, Ray, what team needs him most? I don't think the Carolina Panthers need him. They look like they're okay with Sam Darnold. Right now, they're just kind of off a little bit because of the fact that CMC is still sidelined. He's going to be out till week 9, what have you. But Sam Darnold looks like he's looks, you know, pretty remarkable in that offense that Matt Rule runs. He looks like he's legit. And we all know about the whole Adam Gase. When you leave the Adam Gase coaching staff, quarterbacks become successful, i.e. Ryan Tannehill. So you ask yourself, which team looks like he needs him the most? Miami Dolphins or the Philadelphia Eagles? I don't believe Jalen Hurts. Never believed Jalen Hurts was the answer in Philadelphia. I know they're kicking themselves because they're seeing here's Carson Wentz up in Indianapolis, who's starting to get, you know, some steamroll, and he's starting to look good again. They're just like, God, I can't believe we got rid of Carson Wentz. Well, you guys didn't, you know, it just didn't work out. But I guarantee you, if the Eagles make a trade for Carson Wentz, that's a game changer. For Deshaun Watson, sorry. Because when they traded Carson Wentz, they believed firmly that Deshaun Watson might be available for trade. They thought Hurts might be the plan. Looked like he would, you know, be able to carry the team. Looked like he fit that offense. But the Eagles' offense, I still don't understand what they're trying to do. I've repeatedly come at them. And let's not forget, Ray Dosky here is a Washington football fan. So I go at my Washington team just as much as I go to any other NFL team. So I spread the love equally, if you will. But the Philadelphia Eagles look lost offensively. I don't know why they're not running Miles Sanders more. They just traded away Zach Ertz to the Arizona Cardinals, which I'm pretty sure Zach's really happy, even though he was beloved in Philadelphia. I know he leaving Philadelphia was hard for him because he said he wanted to make that home. He was going to retire there. But the NFL is the NFL. And it's a business at the end of the day. Dallas Goedert has stepped up. He's in a contract year. He wants to be he's probably trying to aim to be top 3 paid tight ends in the NFL. So now it's Dallas Goedert's chance. Now you got to step up. You are the guy. But Miles Sanders, who's not seen probably, 15 carries or more in a game, Hurts needs that help. I've been telling you guys this. But if you replace a Jalen Hurts with a Deshaun Watson, are you kidding? All of a sudden, that offense becomes very dynamic with him and Miles Sanders and Devontae Smith. I give the edge that Philadelphia needs him more than the Dolphins need him because Dolphins' offensive line is just bad. Their running back situation, I have no idea what that's all about. Their receivers, pretty solid. Will Fuller, when he's playing, you know, he's a great talent. Devontae Parker, in and out of the lineup, he's been dealing with injuries. And you got Waddell, this young, budding rookie who's seen like 12 targets a game because he seems like the only guy. And you have Gesicki. But in terms of just talent-wise, the Eagles have it there. I mean, they're probably in an easier division than the AFC South, than the AFC East. Well, you put a push. I mean, the Patriots play tough. You know, they play tough football. The Jets rebuilding, and the Miami Dolphins hit or miss. This was supposed to be a year the Miami Dolphins were supposed to take a step up. In terms of the NFC East, Giants not that great. Eagles, you know, just a quarterback maybe might help them out. Washington, we don't know where that's going with that as well. And that's funny because I bring up Washington because they were saying that during these rumors about Watson being traded to the Miami Dolphins that for some crazy reason, Tua and the Washington football team, there was a connection there that Tua would be shipped over to Washington. Well, Washington's come out and denied, said, oh, we're not interested. Where are those reports? They're just false rumors. And Miami's come back and said, even Coach Flores said, Tua's our quarterback. I don't believe much in rumors. Well, if it quacks like a duck, sounds like a duck, I'm pretty sure it's a duck. Let's be real here. There's going to be a deal done for Deshaun Watson to whoever, Miami or what have you, before the deadline. because there's a lot of credible people have come out and said that there's going to be a trade done. I believe them. I believe those sources. I'm going to rock with that. I don't expect Deshaun Watson to be a Houston Texan by season. I think he's going to be traded. And it seems like whoever's going to trade for him, even the Miami Dolphins, they feel like he's not guilty. Like he's not going to see any criminal charges next year. That he'll be fine next year. He'll be able to play. So if they feel like he could play next year, they're going to make the trade? Do it. Because guess what? That ransom is going to be huge. Whether it be two first-round picks or two first-round picks in a second round or a first round and two round, what have you. Yeah, it's going to be something. And that's a lot of risk for the Miami Dolphins to take. But they're willing to take it. Because they believe in their heart of hearts that there is no issue there. There's not going to be a criminal charge to Deshaun Watson because, let's be real here, ever since those allegations came out, it's been relatively quiet on that side. From both Deshaun's party as well as the people who accused them of harassment, if you will. So it's very interesting how that's going to unfold in the next coming months. But if the Dolphins feel that they can make the trade now and they feel like that he's not going to get prosecuted, he's not going to be criminally charged on any of the accusations that have been brought upon him, so be it, then do it. If you feel like that's who you're going to go get. But you got to remember, when you pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud. Let's be real here. I say this again. When you pray for rain, you have to deal with the mud. Then on the flip side, you look at Miami. Tua, young quarterback, hasn't been healthy. We all knew that he had health concerns coming out of Alabama. Hasn't been able to stay healthy. And it seems like it's continued on in his professional career. And you have to ask yourself, are the Miami Dolphins giving up on Tua too early? Well, maybe. He hasn't really shown much. I mean, he's had a couple easy games, and you know he showed out. I mean, he showed out well against Jacksonville just last week. But since then, what has he really done? What has he really done? You know, last year when Fitzpatrick was starting quarterback, he was a winning quarterback. He was taking the Dolphins to promised land. And then during the end of the season, while they were in this playoff chase, Coach Flores decided, like, you know what? We're going to go do a quarterback switch and go put Tua in. Why would you do that? To see what the kids got? If you got a losing record, I get it. But if you don't have a losing record, why are you fixing what's not broken? There's nothing for you to fix. Ride that momentum. Defensively, Miami has pieces there. On the defensive side. Now, they haven't been healthy. They didn't have their starting two corners the last couple weeks, which is why you're starting to see a little drop back, whatever. But if the Miami Dolphins are willing to trade their first or several first-round picks to Houston, because we all know that next year's quarterback crop is not that great. It's not that great. I don't know if any of them are warranted. Maybe Cora from Ole Miss, probably the only one that right now I think warrants a first-round pick. But other than that, real suspect in terms of this quarterback class coming out next year. But by the Miami Dolphins giving up that type of, not even ammunition, just those picks and what have you, it seems to me that they're not going to throw away the season. Yeah, you guys are 1-5. And let's not forget that the Titans last year, or several years ago, when they made a quarterback switch and they were like down and about, they were out in the rain situation, right around the same situation as the Miami Dolphins. They put Tannehill in. They got Tannehill. What happened? He made them go into that playoff run, deep into the playoffs. So maybe that happens for Miami. Maybe Deshaun Watson is a missing piece. But let's be real. If Miami goes and trades for Watson and they put him, do you think he's going to be automatically like inserted into the offense and like he understands the playbook? No, it's going to take him a couple weeks. Regardless of these guys or whoever been talking, I don't care. It's going to take them a couple weeks just to get acclimated to the offensive system that Miami runs. But like I was saying, if that happens, so be it. But in terms of the Tua trade, I think that Tua will not end up with the Miami Dolphins. I think he'll be traded where? I have no idea. I mean, Washington's out there, but Washington's come out and said that they're not going to go ahead and trade for him. They're not interested. Those rumors are false. You know, you never know with Washington. Washington's got so much to deal with right now because of the fact that Congress has gone and pushed on Daniel Snyder to say that they want to review all the emails from the time of Bruce Allen and this whole John Gruden debacle. They want to review that. So this might be just the tip of the iceberg here. I mean, this might be the tipping point. Who knows? Because I know NFL players want to know what's going on. Maybe not, but I know, like, you know, fans want to know. this could look really ugly. It might even cost Daniel Snyder the ownership of the Washington football team, which I'll be completely fine with. I'm okay with that. Because since he's owned this team, he has been a destructive owner. The guy's treated this team like he's a fan. And I'm okay with that. So we'll see. We got 2 more weeks until the deadline comes up. Many things can happen. Rumors will come out. You know, you'll see stuff. So, like I said, you can check me out, by the way, for like rumors and like, you know, NFL news, what have you. You can find me at Ray Dosky, WNSR on Twitter. And you also can find me on my Instagram page at NFL.junkie, J-U-N-K-I-E, where I just basically put all like my NFL news and topics, what have you, rankings of players and stuff like that through each week, as well as like just content. In addition to that, fantasy football, like starts, sits, I give you advice and stuff like that. Just check the page out. See what you, I want you to tell me what you think of the page. If you like what you see, just smack that follow button. And also, if you got a chance, you can check me on my, on SoundCloud, in my opinion. Subscribe to that if you like the content. I'm always appreciative of all you guys listening to the show. But let's go ahead and talk about week 7 predictions. Big week of buys. Buffalo to lead all the games, what have you. And I have to look to see, like, who do I like this week? We just saw what happened. Thursday night between Denver and Cleveland. And I thought to myself, Keenum looked pretty good. Yeah, he was about 200 yards. You had a third string running back. You had Jarvis Landry come back. You had Odell Beckham Jr. kind of in and out. Defense played better. Now, granted, you know, Denver was not that great. So Cleveland caught them on a short week. Bad offense, can't stop the run, and it showed. It showed. I mean, they just moved the ball at will against them. But Casey Keenum did well. So you have to ask yourself, well, do you think that the Denver Broncos will feel confident going back to him? Yes, he's going to go to Baker. They're going to go to Baker. But who knows? I don't even know if Baker's going to be able to come back, because in terms of like him be, you know, dislocating his shoulder, apparently he broke a bone in his shoulder, that he needs that to heal first before he can even consider coming back on the playing field. So we'll see what happens. I don't know how long that Baker Mayfield's going to be out. Maybe he needs to be out as long as he can. Because Denver, you know, they were able to break that three, you know, they lost three games. They were able to break the streak. They were able to get a win in, stay competitive in that AFC North against the Steelers, who's starting to chime up a little bit. The Ravens looking good. I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit. As well as the Cincinnati Bengals. Wow. What a surprise team this year. But let's go ahead. Let's fast forward. Let's go ahead and go towards our week 7 picks. Now, I don't know if you heard on the afternoon stretch when I'm with Zach Williams as well as Bruno Reagan. Myself and Bruno are tied at 61-33, and Zach is at 60-34. Real competitive in terms of pickings. And we took a couple games this week. And I tried to take some games I thought that might match, but it looked like it just, last week was a really bad week. I mean, Zach and Bruno finished 11-3. I finished 9-5. It was a bad week for me, but I'm going to regroup this week. I'm not worried about that whatsoever. The game that has my attention this week is, and it's one of several, even with the amount of teams that are on bye this week, is the Bengals versus Ravens. Do you know if the Bengals win this week, they'll have the best record in the, that's right, in the AFC. They'll probably be a number one seed. But are the Baltimore Ravens the best team in the NFL right now? They've got the best record. Yes, they're the best team, and they have the best player right now in the NFL on their team. Arguably, let's be real here. Lamar Jackson, with all the injuries that he's dealt with, and it was crazy because you see Cleveland dealing with all these injuries, right? And they're 3-4. Or sorry, 4-3, what have you. And you see this Baltimore team that out the gate in the season, they lost their 2 starting running backs. And, you know, they lost this the defensive player. Like, they just got hit by the injury bug. And you're just like, wow, this is going to be such a long season out the gate for Baltimore. Well, let's be real here. The opposite happened. Lamar Jackson decided he's going to carry this team on his back and really show what he's all about. He's improved his accuracy. He's developed as a great quarterback. And it's crazy because I was making fun about this. It's like, hold on. Has a running back ever won MVP? Yes, kind of. I mean, Lamar Jackson's ranked what, eighth right now in rushing in the NFL? Lamar Jackson. Oh, but he's not a running quarterback. Remember, don't forget that, guys. He's not a running quarterback. But he's got the Cincinnati Bengals, who have lost the last five to the Ravens. I just like the way the momentum, and this is going to be a test for the Ravens again. I mean, they just destroyed the Chargers last week. And they're going up against probably an offense that resembles much of the Chargers. They got wideouts that can kill you. They got a running back. They've got all the offensive load, tight end. I mean, they can get you anywhere. Young quarterback. So this will be another test for the Baltimore Ravens, but I have the Baltimore Ravens this week against the Browns. I mean, against the Bengals. I got them 34-24 against Ravens. Take it home. I love it. I'm riding Lamar Jackson. I went against Lamar Jackson last week. I thought the Chargers were going to beat him. I'm not going to do that again. I'm riding with Lamar this week. This next game that I went back and forth. And I'll tell you why. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you why, because I want to explain to you what I heard last week or the other day. And I know this has been a running joke over the last few days, but you tell me what's wrong with this audio.
Name on the list over Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. There's an argument for Reggie Miller. But I do agree with you that Dwight Howard was the biggest snub. I could mention Vince Carter. I could mention Tony Parker. But I do agree Dwight Howard.
Sorry, that was the wrong one. That was my NBA snub. Oh, I didn't mean to go to the snub. Anyways, I'm going to scratch that. That was my bad. Chris Broussard basically came out and said that the reason why they were not able to score on the one-yard line, Buffalo versus the Titans, was the fact that Taylor Lewan was out of the lineup. Their all-stars have tackle. Since when was Taylor Lewan a Buffalo Bill? I'm trying to figure that one out. And then he kept referring to Josh Allen as Josh Allen Smith. I don't know who Josh Allen Smith is. If any of you guys know who Josh Allen Smith is, please let me know, because I'm still trying to find this guy. I really am. But I wasn't really impressed with the Titans game. It was a great game. It was back and forth. The Bills, they always play the Bills tough. But if you think about it, it was all Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry basically won that game for them. They made a few steps on defense, what have you. Josh Allen didn't play that great. They were able to move the ball, but he didn't play that outstanding. He didn't play like the Josh Allen that we've seen the last several weeks. But if you look at what the Titans did, they did what we thought he was going to do. And I said last week, control the clock, run Derrick Henry. Now, that can really backfire against the Tennessee Titans, because right now Derrick Henry has like a ton of carries. He's got 10 touchdowns already on the year, and we're already going to week 7. I mean, the guy's an MVP candidate, right? I mean, he really is an MVP candidate. Like, if you were to rank your top 5 players in terms of like MVP rankings, where would you rank Derrick Henry? I would have him 4th or 5th. I have him 4th or 5th. I think it's Lamar Jackson's first for me. Then I got Tom Brady, then I got Dak Prescott, then I got Kyler Murray, and then I got Derrick Henry. And then you got my sleepers with Hibbert, and then you got Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be a very competitive MVP race this year. Probably the most that I've seen in probably the last couple of years. Last year, like I told you in my past podcast, it's more like it was like a three-headed monster between Rodgers and Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes still can make a case for himself. He can ride that ship. Kansas City can get it together. And maybe they did it last week. They looked sluggish the first half against Washington. And I told you guys, if the Kansas City Chiefs were playing anyone besides Washington, they would have lost last week. Pat Mahomes had like 3 turnovers. I was just like, come on. And then in the second half, they distanced themselves and they won the game. This week, they go against a Tennessee Titans, who I feel like they match up pretty well. Both teams look very, very identical. Great offensive weapons. Defensively, they suck. So you have a Pat Mahomes, a Kelsey-led Kansas City charge. We all know Tyreek Hill. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. He's been limited in practice this week. pretty sure he'll play. And he showed up second half last week against Washington, but I think he's still lingering with that hamstring injury. It's always around this time when Tyreek Hill deals with injuries. And then you have the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry and Brass. Julio Jones was great the first half, made that remarkable catch. Great concentration catch on the sidelines last week to kind of get that momentum going for the Tennessee Titans. But he was out the second half of the game, which is very Julio Jones-esque. We all seen Julio Jones do this. A.J. Brown dealing with some stomach issues. Looks like he's dealing with even this week. He's been limited practice. Apparently, he had some bad Chipotle. And the first half last week, he was nowhere to be found. He had zero catches. I think he had solid maybe three targets. In the second half, he blew up. He just kind of suckered up, blew up. But in order for the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, the Tennessee Titans to play and keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to need all their weapons. Now, we all know Derrick Henry is the weapon. The Tennessee Titans go as far as Derrick Henry could take them. That's the truth. The only problem is that you got to be careful when you keep going to the well. You might empty it after a while. You're asking too much of Derrick Henry. You're only in week 7. We still have 10 more weeks. I know this guy's in phenomenal shape. I know this guy does well. He's a big boy, all this stuff. But these are the type of running back like that you want to have towards the end of the season, like when you get to the playoff race and the weather's cold and, you know, players don't want to tackle anyone, especially a 6'4", 250-pound running back over and over again. So the Titans need to be careful with how they're going to handle, Derrick Henry. They don't seem to be concerned. I am. But I still feel that Kansas City can win this game. The only thing they need to do, and it's been hard for every other team to do, but it's been done, is to contain Derrick Henry as much as you can. Now, Derrick Henry's still going to blow up, but I just believe at the end of the day, I think that the Titans are riding high over that Buffalo win. They're going to come against Kansas City, and they might have that little confidence, what have you. But let's not forget, it seems like the Chiefs have kind of found out their way a little bit. They're starting to get their offensive, system clicking. They were able to do it last week in the second half against Washington. So I have, and what I believe is going to be a tight game, the Chiefs and Titans. I got the Chiefs 31, Titans 27 in Nashville. It should be a great game. Then I got the Jets-Patriots. Patriots look good. I thought they were going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I was really impressed by them. I was really impressed by Mac Jones and squad. Like, they were able to really play hard against the Dallas Cowboys, who I know that I believe that now that Dak Prescott suffered an ankle injury. An injury last week in that game. He came limping off towards the end of the game. So, they played Dallas. Probably one of the teams that played the Dallas the toughest so far this season. Because of that, I've got the Patriots winning 24-10 over the Jets. That's right. J-E-T-S, I'm sorry, guys. I love you. Great fans. But I just got the Patriots this week. I just feel like the Patriots have a lot of things going on. I feel like that team is a better squad than you guys right now. So I've got the Patriots winning this week. Then you get the Falcons-Dolphins. And I just spoke about the Dolphins. Tua is supposed to start this week. And I don't know if you guys caught it like early in the week where he came off like the roster and then he reappeared. And it was like a blurb. I'm pretty sure most of you guys caught that. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. So it was just a mistake. Oh, okay. On the eve of like that moment when there was rumors of him being traded somewhere or he was in trading discussions, what have you. Well, the Dolphins, they're going to miss their starting corners. I like Tua. I think he matches up well against the Falcons, but I can't go against Matt Ryan, who's been phenomenal. For you guys, in terms of looking for a quarterback to start this week in fantasy, both are starts, but Matt Ryan, if he's on waivers, he is my start of the week. Matt Ryan's been killing it. Kyle Pitts is going to kill it. He gets Gage back. Calvin Ridley is there. I like the Falcons this week. I like him big. I like him winning 24-13 over the Dolphins. Then we got Panthers-Giants. Panthers-Giants. When you feel like you can't like figure out the Giants, they're going to be without Saquon. They're going to be out with Galladay. Shepard's going to be back in the lineup. I don't believe Tony's going to be in there as well. Just the shuffle in terms of who's going to be playing, who's not going to be playing, who's going to be playing. Carolina, they're going to get, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, They're going to probably be one of the healthier teams this week. I like the Panthers this week. CMC's still going to be out, but Hubbard looks like he's took that lead role. He's been able to be that missing piece in terms of offense, making Sam Darnold's life a little easier in that backfield. Robbie Anderson showed up last week, got a touchdown. Where were you the last 6 weeks? Because you're on my fantasy team, dude. I thought you were going to rock it. You're going to be able to reconnect with Sam Darnold, and it's looked like nothing. You've been sucking. Like, stop. And then all of a sudden, like, I bench him, and what does he do? He goes and scores a touchdown. Thank you, Sam Darnold. God, Robbie Anderson. But see, whatever. That's in the past. That was week six. It's over. But I do have the Panthers winning 24-17 over the Giants this upcoming week. Then we have my team, the Washington football team, going against the Packers. Oh, man. I just don't know what to do with Washington. I don't know what to expect. It looks like that McLaurin might be a questionable game time start because he was dealing with a hamstring injury in practice this week. It looks like he was limited. If Washington doesn't have him, they have zero chance, honestly, because I don't know what Washington is doing. Their offense has looked anemic. It looks horrible. I don't know what Turner's doing. I don't know what the defense is doing. It seems like when you watch William Jackson on the corner, he looks like he's been playing out of coverage. He doesn't know his assignments. It just looks really frustrating. Like, come on. Landon Collins now going to be a linebacker. Is he happy about it? No, but he'll play at it. Landon Collins, you're not great. I mean, you're a strong safety. You're just moving up to linebacker. But you've been a liability in coverage. You have been. And it's surprising that last year after Landon Collins got hurt, went down, had the season-ending injury, the Washington football defense improved dramatically, like leaps and bounds. Curl came in, played that free safety spot. They were, just was a different team. So maybe this move to linebacker might be a good thing for Collins in that Washington defense. But unfortunately, you're going against A-Rod. That's right. He's a bad man. And Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, because you guys can't stop the run. You can't stop the pass. I've got the Packers 31-24 over Washington this week. And it just sucks for me to say that, but yeah. I don't think they'll be able to support. I don't think they'll be able to survive this game as well. Then you got Bears Buccaneers, and there's been talks in the news and the media about like how Tom Brady remembers his loss from the Bears last year. It was a learning experience. Ah, blah 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 blah. Shut up! This is Tom Brady, the GOAT. You think he's worried about that? The dude won a Super Bowl last year. You think he's worried about the Bears loss? Nah. If he is, okay. Doesn't matter. He's still going to beat the Bears this week against a Justin Fields-led team. I know that AB's not going to be there. Gronk's not going to be there. I don't care. Don't care. OJ Howard stepped in, became a serviceable tight end. I mean, he was a first-round pick. Cameron Brate, he's serviceable tight end. Oh, that's right. They have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Really? And you're the media is wondering like if Tom Brady's thinking he's upset about last year's loss. No. He's coming out gunning. He's gonna just do his thing. Tampa Bay's gonna come out gunning. Tampa Bay, I got them winning. And not even a close game. I got them 31-14 over the Bears. Lions, Rams. Ooh, what a reunion. Jared Goff comes home to LA against Matthew Stafford. These two teams involved in a big trade in the offseason, swapping quarterbacks. Yeah, Matthew Stafford. And I know that Jared Goff came out and responded to Sean McVay's comments about like how he did not like how the trade went down. He didn't communicate it properly, and he regrets that, but it was a learning experience for him. And Jared Goff said that, yeah, I appreciate he said that, but what's done is done. Basically like, yeah, screw you, dude. Yeah, Jared Goff is pissed. But let's be real here. Matthew Stafford has opened up that offense. This team looks completely different, led by Matthew Stafford, than it did with Jared Goff ever during his time as a quarterback for the Rams. He just opened up that playbook. Stafford's that dude. Like, he is balling. Rams is probably the biggest sleeper right now out of all the NFC teams to go to the Super Bowl. Because Arizona's up there. They're still an undefeated team. And you got Green Bay and you got Tampa Bay. I mean, who knows where it's going to go? But let's be real here. The LA Rams are going to take it to the Detroit Lions. And it's going to be a fun game to watch. I mean, the Lions will fight their arses off. That's right, their arses off to keep up with the Rams, but it's not going to be enough. So I've got the Rams winning 35-21 over the Lions. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see this, you know, Jared Goff coming home, how he's going to play against that fan base, and Matthew Stafford going against his old team. So is it a rivalry game? Whatever you want to call it, like, you know, I don't even know what to call it, but it should be an interesting game to watch. Then you have the Eagles at Raiders. Raiders looked probably the healthiest they've been all season coming into this game. And I thought the Raiders were going to lose last week against Denver. And what did they do? No, they decided to show up and decided to spank them. They spanked the Broncos. Like, that. Come on! Derek Carr looked good. Henry Ruggs, stud. Jacobs back in. Looks like the team's getting healthy. But we can't overlook the fact that Derek Carr has been playing great out the gate during the season. And if he can continue to keep hitting his ceiling and he continues on, this Raiders team that just dealt with this whole Gruden firing just 2 weeks ago, they could probably stay in the playoff race. The Raiders in the playoffs. I'm gunning for you, Raiders, dude. I'm like, Raider fans, I hope y'all get it. Raiders I've always had like a deep love for, because they're like low-key love for them, because I just like the logo, the fans, just like the Raiders. I always had a soft spot for the Raiders. Maybe because I'm a Bo Jackson fan. I grew up watching Bo Jackson. That's probably why. But I just think the Raiders come out the gate and they come take it to the Eagles. It's going to be a 27-17 victory over them. I'm liking what they're seeing, so give me the Raiders. And then we have the Texas Cardinals. Do I really need to go into detail about that? DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt coming home. They're playing their old team, the Texans. The Cardinals have just looked amazing. They're kicking on all cylinders. Kyler Murray is an MVP candidate. I mean, A.J. Green's found the fountain of youth. This team is just so stacked. And now you add a Zach Ertz to that team. Come on. That's just too much. That's too much for any team to cover. There's too much talent on that offense. So I've got the Cardinals winning 31-7 over the Texans. And then we have the Colts and 49ers. This is a real hard one, because the Colts, if they can continue to play the way they did, and I really thought the Titans were going to lose to the Buffalo Bills, and I would have been like, oh, we'll be talking about possibly like, you know, this week going against Kansas City, if they lose to Kansas City, and if the Colts win against the 49ers, now we have a tie for the AFC South. But the Texans did the impossible. I mean, the Titans did the impossible, and they beat the Buffalo Bills, who last week was considered the best team in the AFC. Well, how quickly a week goes and how quickly that changes in just 1 week. But they're going against this 49ers team, who's going to get Jimmy G back. You got the Colts team, who's going to get Quentin Nelson. They're all pro guard. They're going to get Darius Leonard back, and possibly Hilton back as well. I like the Colts this week. I really do. I know they're playing in San Francisco, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think that Carson Wentz and that team starting to click a little bit. They're really starting to show their stuff. I like the Colts here. I'm going 31-28 over the 49ers. 49ers is a good team. I just like the momentum the Colts have right now, and I'm going to ride that. Then you have the Seattle Seahawks taking on the New Orleans Saints. That's right. Jameis Winston coming to town, going against Geno Smith. Oh, what a great matchup from Monday night. What a great matchup. Saints defense is sneaky elite. Just remember that. They're sneaky elite. Geno Smith will be forced to turnovers. And what's funny is that last week, Geno Smith played well, but he wasn't able to do enough to win the game. New Orleans Saints coming in, kicking on cylinders. Kamara's kicking on cylinders. I think they're a few weeks away from getting Michael Thomas back in that lineup. Might be a difference maker there. I like the Saints. That, you know, on Monday night, I like them. And this is crazy. 24-21 over the Seahawks. or 24-14 over the Seahawks. So those are my picks, guys, for the upcoming Week 7 matchup in the NFL. But since it's since it's fantasy week and we need to talk about fantasy, let's talk about who we like in terms of who do I like in terms of start sits this week. Let's go. Here we go.
It's time to click your heels together and jump into the land of make-believe, where mediocre high school players who played on mediocre high school teams think they know more than a professional head coach. It's Fantasy Football Friday.
Oh, yes. Fantasy Football Week 7. Here we go. Let's go. Let's start with the quarterbacks here now. Told you earlier, Matt Ryan, don't even overthink it. The dude's averaging 25 fantasy points in the past four outings. Go with him. The guy threw four touchdowns against my Washington football team. The guy's playing elite at the age of 36. He's basically taking this team on his back. Matt Ryan is that dude. I'm loving me Matt Ryan. And I've seen that he's available in a lot of leagues in terms of waiver wires. More so like the 10 to 12 teams compared to like the two quarterback or the super flex leagues. He's pretty much on the rosters, but if he is, you need to start him. You need to start him and start him quick because he's going to get Russell Gage back this week. So he's going to have his full complement of offensive weapons this week going against the Miami Dolphins, who's going to be their starting two corners. Give me Matt Ryan. Don't even think about it. Derek Carr, I just spoke about this earlier. Derek Carr has been awesome. And let's not forget the Eagles. Have in the last three of the past four meetings, I believe, have given up at least 21 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. And let's not forget the Eagles are allowing the most touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks with 13. 13. That means Derek Carr is going to feast, boy. The Eagles have given up 13 touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks? Come on, man. They're the league leader. It's not a brain dump. Play Derek Carr. He's one of the top five quarterbacks playing right now in terms of production, touch. Like, just play Derek Carr. That's just it. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, Kansas City. Ryan Tannehill is more like a boom and bust for me this week because of the fact that I don't know where his complement of receivers is going to be. Is Julio Jones going to play? Is A.J. Brown going to play? Or is it going to be more or less the Derrick Henry show? But if those two players play, you better start Ryan Tannehill because we've seen him in years past. He's been able to play Kansas City tough. I remember the last time Kansas City came to Nashville, it was like a 35-38, like it was a close game. It was a back and forth. I was actually at that game. Now, I know the Chiefs did a great job holding Heinicke last week for 11 points. I know a lot of people had him starting last week. I mean, he was a sleeper streak. He was a streaky streamer, if you will, in terms of start last week. But in the four previous games, the Chiefs have gone against Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Hurts, and Josh Allen, who all scored more than 30 fantasy points. Do I think Tannehill gets 30 fantasy points? Close to it. I think more or less 27 because of the fact that he's going to have Derrick Henry there. So I'm liking Tannehill this week. Jameis Winston, Seattle. Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and the combination of Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo have one thing in common. They've all gone over 300 yards against the Seahawks. And let's not forget, Winston just had 33 fantasy points against my Washington football team just a few weeks ago. He's a great stream, great option to stream this week in Week 7. So go ahead and start him. Sam Darnold, like I said, Sam Darnold looks great this week. I mean, he scored at least 21 fantasy points in each of his first four starts. And I believe he can return to this level going against this just not great Giants defense. So give me Sam Darnold. Start him as well. Jimmy G going against that Colts defense. He comes back. Hope he looks great this week. I mean, let's be real here. Jacoby Brissett and David Mills are all the only quarterbacks who failed to score at least 21 fantasy points against the Colts this year. That's right. Jacoby Brissett and David Mills. You know what they have in combination? What they're ranking? They're both what? 2-10? Yeah. Give me Jimmy G going against that Colts defense. terms of guys who I don't, I mean, yeah. In terms of who I'm sitting, Taylor Heinicke, don't like anyone against Green Bay. I mean, he's very hot and cold. I thought he was going to have a great game last week. I mean, the stage was set for him to have a good fantasy outing. He did not do that against the Chiefs, who's probably dead last in terms of going after opposing quarterbacks and giving up the most yards and fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this year. I was surprised by that. Daniel Jones, don't like him against Carolina. Carson Wentz, he's more or less a boom and bust this week. More of a boom and bust. I think that if anything, the Colts are going to rely on the run game and Jonathan Taylor and that Marlin backfield or Hines, if you will, to kind of set the stage against that 49ers team. So I would say Carson Wentz more or less a boom and bust. You could start him because really there's little options out there, but I would be wary of him. You know, I would probably start Tua over him. And that's crazy because the fact that I just got to go based off matchups. Tua has the Falcons as opposed to Carson Wentz going against San Francisco. So just be alert on that. And then you have Joe Burrow, I think, is a bust this week. I think that, you know, after what the Ravens did last week to Justin Herbert, I think Joe Burrow is going to see the exact same stuff. I think he's going to see the exact same thing. But we all seen Joe Burrow's been able to surprise me in the past. But the Ravens, you know, they held him last year. I think it was like 19 of something, 30, 31 passing yards. I think he like had 180 yards and no touchdowns. So I think he's more or less a bust this week. In terms of guys I'm starting this week, I'm starting Cordarrelle Patterson. He's been that Swiss Army knife for that Falcons team because we've seen that he's either had 100 total yards or a touchdown in four games in a row. And, you know, that's even with Davis scoring in the consecutive games with Patterson. So I'm going to go start him. And this is a guy I've been telling you to trade. If people, you want to go get someone low, and that is Miles Sanders. That's right. He's got the Lions coming up. He's got Las Vegas coming up. I mean, he's got an easy schedule coming up this week. He's got this next three couple games are going to be, you know, much in his favor. And it looks like that if you look at the output, I think that he was at the first several weeks, he was about 76% in terms of, or 68% in terms of offensive plays. And now last 2 weeks, he's up to 78%. So it looks like he's starting to distance himself from Gainwell. It looks like that Gainwell was probably going to threaten him a little bit in terms of the backfield carries. But it looks like he's starting to distance himself a lot from Kenneth Gainwell. So, and I believe his numbers are going to go up now, especially with Zach Ertz not being there more. I feel that now you don't have to feel that two-headed monster in terms of tight ends. I see Miles Sanders seeing a lot more targets now. So Miles Sanders is a great, great start this week against the Las Vegas Raiders. Chubba Hubbard, yep, I told you. Keep telling you guys, start him. I mean, he's going against the New York Giants. You know, the Giants, they've allowed at least a score or have allowed him run back over 100 yards. So you know he's going to be successful. He's going to be a great flex play this week. Go ahead and start Hubbard because I believe that he has top 10 upside in this matchup this week. I think he has top 10 upside. So he might finish the top 10 in terms of like running back rankings this upcoming week. Elijah Mitchell going to Indianapolis. I know that defensive front's tough, but we all know what the 49ers do and what they do well. They run the ball. Go ahead and play him. I like Elijah Mitchell this week. In terms of like your deeper leagues, I like J.D. McKissic, especially in the PPR formats going against this Green Bay team. Because if you look at the Packers, have already allowed at least five running backs. You know, I'm going to name them for you. I'm going to go Alvin Kamara, DeAndre Swift, Najee Harris, MJ Pirine, who actually had one good game and then he was hurt, to score at least 8 PPR points. And I know that Antonio Gibson's there, but it seems like the Washington football team are not committed 100% to Antonio Gibson. It feels like it's like a committee between him and J.D. McKissic. J.D. McKissic seems to be a lot more involved in terms of like that 4-minute offense as well as, you know, that third down red zone. He's more or less that safety net for Taylor Heinicke. In terms of my sleepers, and I told you about last week, Devontae Freeman, and I know that the other guys scored. I know that Murray scored, but Murray might be out this week. Murray's out this week, and then Bell scored. Devontae Freeman, he deserves more chances to touch the ball. I believe he might be the favorite running back in week 7 for the Ravens. I really do. So go ahead, and I would start him as a streamer. Also like James Conner going against Houston. James Conner looks pretty solid. I was down on the guy. I was really down on the guy. I and I because I for one reason and one reason only. I thought Chase Edmonds, and I still believe it, is the better running back of the two. But he's a borderline starter in all matchups, whether it be PPR, standard, what have you. I believe he's the guy that you want to go because Connors has scored a touchdown in three of the past four games. I mean, the guy has total five touchdowns so far in the span. So I'm going to ride Connor this week. In terms of guys I'm sitting this week, I don't like Devontae Booker. Going against that Carolina defense, the defense is much improved. They're a tough play. I don't like Michael Carter and the Jets going against New England. I don't believe they do well. I mean, let's be real here. Carter in the last two games, he's been held to, what, 58 yards. I mean, at best, he's a flex play, but, I mean, he's a boom or bust, a flex play. If you have other options that you feel like fit for him, I would pick them over him. Jamal Williams, I don't like him going to the L.A. Rams team. L.A. Rams looks good. I think that's going to be more or less like of anything. It's going to be Jared Goff trying to throw the ball as much as they can and go get that going. Miles Gaskin, the Miami Dolphins, I have no idea what they're doing. You got Salvin Ahmed, you got Malcolm Brown, and then you got Miles Gaskin. Last week when I was watching this game over in Europe against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I had Gaskin in my league. I'm like, why? The guy could not catch a ball. He couldn't catch anything to save his life. I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? You can't catch anything. Like, I don't know if his concentration was not there or what have you. And you could tell that the Miami Dolphins, that offensive coaching staff saw it, took him out, and they were able to run the ball more with Malcolm Brown and a sprinkle of Salvin Ahmed. And Gaskin probably saw a few carries, and then I just feel like he's just not there. I just don't like him this week at all. In terms of my bust alert this week, Khalil Herbert. He was a great fantasy pickup last week in week six to pick up, he subbed in for Williams, who was on the COVID list. But you're going against that Tampa Bay front line, who has been probably the strongest, probably the toughest against the run. I don't like him this week as well. In terms of wide receivers, give me Jalen Waddell because he seems like he's the most consistent player on that wide receiver court. I know that Parker might not be there. Fuller is still out. Waddell's seen a ton of targets. I mean, he's been a PPR machine. Tua, Waddell, that connection's there. Give me Waddell that week. Give me Sterling Shepard. I like him as well. Go ahead and play him. I'm going against Carolina. I think that he'll, because the Panthers have allowed at least seven receivers to score at least 14 PPR points this year. So Shepard's going to see targets. No Galladay, no Tony. I think Shepard starts to eat a little bit this week. Then you have Brandon Cooks going against Arizona because that's all they have. It's Brandon Cooks and then no one else on that Houston Texans team. Because Arizona is only one of five teams with nine touches allowed to receivers this year. And they're a good defense, but they give up touchdowns to wide receivers. Michael Pittman against the San Francisco 49ers. I like him this week. I feel like because of the fact they're going to be chasing points this week a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. But I like Pittman as a number two wide receiver, especially if Hilton is out. If Hilton's in, he's more of a flex play. In terms of my sleepers this week, Darnell Moody, who's a Justin Fields favorite. I like him this week going against Tampa Bay. Hunter Renfro, Derek Carr's safety blanket. He's that slot guy. He's a ton of targets. I've got him starting in two of my leagues, going against the Philadelphia team. Because if you look at point game, so the billing is there for him. Ride with that. A guy that I'm starting in two of my leagues, because I'm in five, Marcus Callaway. Marquise Callaway going against a Seattle defense? Are you kidding? Come on now. He could be a number three wide receiver or he could be a flex play this week. Because the Seahawks have allowed at least eight receivers to score at least 16 PPR points this year. 16! 16! Are you kidding? Yeah, dude. Give me Callaway. Give me Winston. Give me that connection. I'm rolling with that. And then Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman, that offense, I mean, he fantasy stud last week. He's had 17 targets in his past two games. Lit up my Washington football team last week. If Hill is still lingering with this injury, Hardman might be the benefactor of a ton more targets. Looks like what it is right now. It seems like whatever Hill's dealing with right now, it seems like Hardman is enjoying what's coming his way. And I know Josh Gordon is there, but Josh Gordon doesn't know the playbook. He's still, getting his feet wet in terms of trying to understand what the system is like. But you're going against the Titans, who've allowed the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, including the most receiving yards, which is a little over 1,400 yards. The billing is there. Go with it. Mecole Hardman. Don't even think about it. In terms of sitting, I don't like Jacoby Myers. Then you're going against the New York Jets. The Jets' pass defense is pretty tough. I don't like Henry Ruggs because I feel like they're going to play him deep. I think that of the team, I think of the receivers that are going to do well in that Las Vegas Eagles game is going to be Waller and Renfro. I think it's going to be a lot of the middle passes. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to do that. But if you have to start, Henry Ruggs, start him, but be cautious. He's more or less a boom or bust in terms of this week. Corey Davis, don't like him against New England. He's fallen off since he had that big game against the Titans. I don't know where he's been since then. Tyler Boyd against Baltimore. We saw what Marlon Humphrey and company did against last week with Mike Williams and Keelan Allen. They suffocated that Chargers offense. I think they're going to do the same thing this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then my bust alert is DK Metcalf, who's going against Marshawn Lattimore this coming week. I mean, I just don't see, he struggled last week against the Steelers. He had 6 catches for 58 yards for like on 7 targets. So I don't like this week. In terms of tight ends, I like Zach Ertz. Like I told you, I like Galladay. Hunter Henry is a good one. He's a sleeper if he's out there for you. Go against him against the Jets because I believe that he's been more so the reliable tight end for Mac Jones right now. Sleepers, I like this week. If Tyler Higbee is still on waivers, please go pick this guy up. He's going against the Detroit Lions. And then Ricky Steele Jones, who's been Tyler Heineke's more or less like his safety net. I like him as well. So I would go with him. So, guys, I'm sitting this week in tight ends. Evan Engram, don't like him going to Carolina. I just don't know where he's going to be with that. I know there's missing pieces on that Giants offense, but I just don't feel like it's going to be enough for them to kick. I just don't feel like Evan Engram sees the targets. I think Sterling Shepard is going to be the lead in terms of receptions and what have you. So I see that going on. And then Robertson, and I don't feel comfortable about him because if you look at the Washington football team, one thing they have done successfully is they kept Jared Cook, Kyle Pitts, and Travis Kelce out of the end zone. So those are a ton of players. Those are a ton of good tight ends there. But that wraps up my fantasy football talk. But like I said, if you want to check out for more, if you want more fantasy football advice, what have you, or just want to talk NFL, please, by all means, check out my Instagram page. You can find me at NFL.junkie, JUNKIE, where I told you I'll do fantasy starts, sits, recommendations. I look at your lineups, what have you, give them a recommendation. And in addition to that, I give you football content, news. Let's talk. We chat it up. If you go on there, you'll see I'm interacting with all the followers. I just have a lot of fun on the page, and I believe the followers do as well. So go and check that page out. You can also find me on Twitter at RayDoskiWNSR. I possibly will most likely go live on my Instagram page this coming weekend, probably between 11 and 12 before the kickoff of games. I'll be in the studios to kind of give you like your start sits in case you guys have last minute stuff. And also I'll be giving you like my start sits, you know, as injury reports come out, stuff like that over the weekend. Cause we all know something always pops up, you know, you find out more players who are during the week are game time decisions. You get a little more clarity as you get into that Saturday going into Sunday morning. I'll be listing all the players I like going in per games on my Instagram page. So please do check it out. So, but for the most part, I'm really looking forward to week 7 and upcoming games. Sports kicking off. Hockey's kicked off. Basketball kicked off. Football's in the middle of the week. And then we're also talking about, I was at the Nashville SC game early in the week, covered that game. They tied up with Columbus. They're going to the playoffs. I'm really excited about that. I'm going to try to get more Nashville SC sports talk about soccer. I'm really looking forward to that. But until then, I'm Ray Dosky, and this is In My Opinion.